This morning I'll be reading from John 4, 1 through 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well, and it was the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came and drew water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said also to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than the father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank it from himself, and also did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give you will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give you will become in a spring of living of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go get your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the woman you know now is not your husband," which you have just said to be quite true. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews came, and the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, also called as Christ, is coming, and he comes and will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he."
We have had a little mix-up with the scripture reading, and I was going to read that same passage that Jason read. If you guys in my slides will just skip past that, I would appreciate that. Some of you have asked about the little booklets. We ran out. You asked if there would be more, and our printers, Ken Warlick and their group, got them printed out. I went and picked them up today and then promptly left them at home. So we have more. And starting tomorrow, they'll be here at the church building. If you're by this week and you want one, you can pick one up. If you're here on Wednesday night, you can get it. Or if you're not going to be here again until next Sunday, you can get it then. But they are available. Mark and Mary McLean, where are you? Stand up, please. They want to be recognized as members, so we want to welcome them. They are longtime friends of David and Lana Fears and decided to worship with us anyway. I think it's because of Lana they decided to. But we're excited to have them with us this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we want life, the life that you have spoken to us about through your Son in John's Gospel. We have a desire for the hope that you provide, the hope of which we have just sung about. As we reflect upon this story of Jesus' encounter with this woman, we would ask that you would help us to see the life that you have provided for us and to live into that life, live into that dream, embrace that life for ourselves through faith. Through your Son we pray, amen. They're everywhere. You may work with them. You may play softball with them. You may even go to church with them, go to school with them. You might be one of them. They are the walking dead. They're all around us, but they're not really like that. That's just a TV show, of course. But people are actually the walking dead. They are decaying, but not on the outside, but on the inside, just making it through each day with really not much else going on. Jesus had a chance meeting with one of these on a hot day by a well in Sychar. It was finally hot enough that she decided she could go out to the well. She certainly didn't want to go out there in the morning or in the evening because there would be other women there, and she did not want to be around them, and they did not want to be around her. She had rotated through a number of men in her life, and she had quite the reputation. Was it her own doing? Was she being used by someone else? Was it sort of a mixture of the two? So she drug herself down to the well in the heat of the day, only to find that there is someone there, a man. What's a man doing at the well? This is the place where the women come, and it's a Jewish man. Well, the Jews and the Samaritans have this long and very ugly and nasty history. You see, her people, Samaritans, were Jewish, but they had intermarried with all these foreign folks, and so they were half-breeds, and the Jews down in Judea and Jerusalem didn't want anything to do with those people. And so those people were not allowed to worship in Jerusalem, so they had an alternative place of worship in Samaria on a mountain. There was such antagonism between Samaritans and Jews that often Jews who were traveling from Galilee down to Jerusalem for any type of festival, be it Passover or something else, as they traveled through Samaria would be harassed, attacked, and sometimes even killed by Samaritans, which makes it really interesting because a lot of those folks then would start making their way around Samaria to come down to Jerusalem. And it's very interesting that John says to us here in his gospel that Jesus had to go through Samaria. She comes out to the well. He's there. Maybe he will just ignore her. Maybe he'll just let her be, kind of get on with her life and get on with getting her water and go back home, and that will be the end of it. That was too much to hope for. He says to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, if she expected him to say anything at all, it was probably not that, because again, Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do with each other. She's a woman, he's a man. They really should not be talking with one another like this. And on top of that, Jews would not ever drink out of utensils that Samaritans used, because those utensils were thought to be unclean. So why in the world would he ask her for a drink? And so she points out the obvious. Why is it you're talking to me anyway? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we don't have anything to do with each other. I don't understand why you're talking to me. And then Jesus gets all philosophical on her and he says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him. He would give you living water. Now, maybe it's as if she's just had one too many do-gooders knock on her door on Saturday morning to talk about religion, and she's just had it up to here, and so she's really going to take it out on him. So she gets a little bit snarky with Jesus. Really? Really? Because you don't have anything to draw with. And I know you're not going to use our utensils. You don't have anything to draw with. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father, Jacob? His well's here in our place. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Bam, put that Jewish man in his place. He comes back at her. No, if you drink this water, you will never be thirsty again. Oh, give me some of this water. I don't have to keep coming out to the well. You can hear the sarcasm in her voice. Then she cuts to the chase. You folks say we're supposed to worship down in Jerusalem. And our folks say up here in Samaria on the mountain, is that what this is all about you putting me in my place, about your people putting our people in our place and telling us where we ought to be worshiping? And then Jesus totally shifts gears on her and says, go call your husband. Now, if she wanted to talk about anything, it was not that. Her life was a mess and she knew it. Doing her best just to get through the day, try to find any little bit of enjoyment she could find, as she goes back to guy number 6. Been there? You're trying just to make it through life, make it through the day. Somebody says, how are you doing? You say, I'm getting by. Just getting by. And maybe it's your fault you're in that situation. Maybe it's not your fault you're in that situation. But you're in that situation, and it is what it is. Walking Dead. So he shifted gears, so now she shifts gears. Let's talk about the Messiah, because I know the Messiah, the hopes of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, everything's going to work out. He's going to work everything out. But you get a sense when she says this that she doesn't really hold out much hope because there's not much hope in her life. But then Jesus says, "Lady, I'm it." And the next thing you know, she's running back to town. But really, what has changed? What did Jesus do that made her like Wilma Rudolph and sprint back into town? What did Jesus give her that she did not have before? John tells us that he was there for 2 days, and after 2 days, he left and he went on up to Galilee. And then he just makes a point to tell us that a prophet has no honor in his home country. He's going to go back to where he grew up, and people remember running around the streets as a kid. And despite all the miracles he's performing, nobody's going to take him seriously. But there's this royal official who did not grow up like that. He's probably Gentile. And he comes to Jesus. He's as desperate as the Samaritan woman. His son is back at home dying. And there's no one that's been able to help him. So he comes to Jesus and he begs for Jesus to help him. And Jesus does something we would never expect Jesus to do. He just puts him off. Puts him off. All you people want is signs. Just want one sign after. You won't believe anything unless you see a sign. But the royal official, he won't be put off. And he keeps after Jesus. Well, maybe there are some people who will believe. And he says, "Your son is healed." And the man goes back home and discovered that at the very moment that Jesus said it, it happened. This is what a lame man is looking for in Jerusalem. John now in chapter 5 shows us Jesus back in Jerusalem. And there's a lame man. He's been laying by this pool. He wants to get well. Legend has it that if you could just get yourself into the water, when the angel has stirred the water, then you could be healed. But he's a lame guy. And when you're lame, you don't move so fast. And so other people have been beating him into the water. And Jesus says the word, and he's healed. But it's the Sabbath. He has worked on the Sabbath. And some folks are quite concerned with religious correctness. Worship on this place, not that place. Jerusalem, not the mountain. Or the mountain, not Jerusalem. Do not work on the Sabbath. Baptize this way, don't baptize that way. Sing this way, don't sing that way. Religious correctness. They're all about religious business. But Jesus is about life business. Like the woman at the well who has no life. And the man by the pool who has no life. What is life? I mean, you use that term, life. Somebody says, "Get a life." Somebody else says, "Ah, this is the life." What do we mean by that term? I can tell you what we do not mean. We do not mean simply a beating heart, because I think all of us have probably witnessed somebody laying in a bed with tubes swirling all around them and coming in and out of them, and their heart is beating, but we would not look at that and say, "That is life." In fact, we would look at that and say, "I don't want to be like that." Nor do we want to be the folks that have rotating through somebody's life, a woman rotating through different men's life who are using her over and over again. Nor do we want to watch children die. Nor do we want to see crippled people laying out by a pool and not getting well. None of that. None of that is life. Life is where depression and anxiety do not control your life day in and day out anymore. Life is when you don't have this guilt hanging over you every day and controlling your life. Life is where you do not continue in pain all day long, every day. Life is where you're not controlled by some kind of substance like alcohol. Life is where you're not caught up in this really bad relationship and you can't get out of it. Life is the stuff of dreams. Can you imagine every day as she's trudging to the well in the heat of the day, carrying her pot? She's dreaming, thinking about how things could be. This was not how I imagined that she imagined her life was going to be. But she could dream. Dream of a life where she's loved, not used, cared for. Somebody really adores her. A world where children don't die. A world where people are not crippled. But they're just dreams, right? I mean, nobody can do anything about it. No one has done anything about it. But then He was there at the well. And he said he had living water to give to her. And then he told her about her sordid life. And then he said he was the Messiah. And she never ran so fast as when she ran back to town to tell everybody about him. What had he actually provided for her? He provided hope. Hope that things could be better in her life than they were at that very moment, than they were had been for quite some time. He provided hope. Hope that dreams actually do come true. Hope for the future. Eternal life. Living water. John tells us several times in the Gospel of John, this is not about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. Oh yeah, someday, yeah, off in the future somewhere, things are going to be better. No, in fact, Jesus is telling us in the Gospel of John, you can have that life right now. You can cross over from death to life right now. The walking dead can live right now. John chapter 5, verse 24. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has, not will have, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has, not will have, has crossed over from death to life. Not pie in the sky and a sweet by and by and someday it's going to be great, but you can have this life, Jesus is saying, right now. This life can be yours right now. At some point, your situation is going to change. But at some point, all situations are going to change. But even if your situation doesn't change right now, you can change right now. And that's the business of life that we're hearing in the Gospel of John. In chapter 1, we heard John tell us, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. In John chapter 10, we'll hear Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. To know your purpose, to know what you're about, to know what you're supposed to be doing in this world, to know who you are in God. And to know that at some point in the future, that's all going to be consummated, but it can be yours even now. So that God is giving you this strength. No matter what your situation, no matter how difficult your situation is, God is giving you that strength now because you can cross over now from death to life. This hope and this power that was for that woman at the well, John's telling us that's at our disposal as well. If we will believe. Sometimes seeing is believing, but sometimes believing is seeing. It's only when I put ourselves all into it, give ourselves to 100% to it, that we really see the things that we then have already believed. It only becomes real when we act in faith. Believing is going to the doctor, and the doctor says, I want you to take this medication this many times a day, and that medication that many times a day, and then this other medication this many times a day. And you go home believing what the doctor said is true, and you do that. Believing is not, I think I'll take this one, but not that one. Believing is not, I'm going to take some that I want and others that I don't want. Believing is saying, I believe what the doctor said is true, and I'm going to do that. Believing in Jesus is ingesting everything about Jesus into your life, not some things you do like and the other things you don't like. It's not about saying I'm going to do this sometimes and not other times, but ingesting everything in Jesus in your life because you believe that He really offers you life. And so believing is seeing. Belief is living into the dream. As if the dream is real, and you're going to live it out, live your life out as if that dream is real, as if all situations that are going to change have already changed now, and you give yourself to it completely. Believing is seeing. Seeing the change that takes place, not in the situation, but in you. And then you begin to experience life. And eventually, what you will discover is that God changes all situations. Will you have life? Will you believe? Let's stand and sing.